John's Gospel, chapter 4.
I just want to ask if everybody's got notes.
Yes. If you didn't receive notes this morning, just lift up your hand. We have a set of notes for you, one page. If you did not receive some notes on your way in, just lift up your hand and the ushers will make sure that you get one. Praise God. John's Gospel, chapter 4, is a very familiar story. How many love Jesus this morning? How many know He's King and He's Lord? Amen. How many know you can never go wrong with Jesus? Amen. Praise God, He's there at every turn in your life, every moment. When you're awake, when you're asleep, Jesus is there. The Bible says that He is our high priest of our confession. That means He watches over you. The Bible says that He ever lives to make intercession for you. Well, nobody prays for me, but Jesus does.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus does.
Jesus.
That's right. He's always praying for you. Praying that you'll succeed in this life and that you'll bring glory and honor to God. Amen.
Yes.
John's Gospel, Jesus is ministering. He's traveling. He's walking the roads, eating the dust. Amen. How many know that?
Yes.
In Jerusalem. And the Bible says here in chapter 4, we won't read the whole thing, but he says that he has a need to go through Samaria. And I'm sure you heard Pastor Jay preach on this many times about Samaritan people being half Jews. And all of that. But Jesus, just quickened by the Spirit of God, says, I must go through Samaria. How many know Jesus always heard from God?
Amen, that's right.
I wish we could have that record.
Yeah.
But Jesus, I'm sure, had this vision of ministering to this woman at a well. Say, woman at a well.
Amen.
You know, Jesus, He wasn't into just teaching and preaching. He was into people.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus loved people.
Yeah.
You know what? God calls His church to love people with the God kind of love, to love them with unconditional love. You know, Jesus wasn't just, oh, I'm in ministry and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Jesus was into people. That's what God calls us to minister to people. Aren't you glad that you've been ministered to?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's just pick this up with this story, and we're going to go to our notes, but I want you to see this in verse 21. Jesus ministering to her, and they're having this kind of discussion that you would have on a Sunday afternoon. And how many know Jesus can take you where you are in the natural and bring you into an experience with God? And that's what He does with this woman at Samaria. She's just coming to get water at the well. It's just an everyday thing. But Jesus always has a purpose to dig and go deeper in a person's life. How many know that's true? Jesus just doesn't want to leave you where you're at. He wants to do something in you and bring you to a place that you haven't been before. And this morning we're going to be talking a little bit about worship. Everybody say worship.
Worship.
And He identifies with this woman the needs in her life, but He wants to point her in a direction that's going to change her life. Amen. How many know that's important?
Amen.
So Jesus, she's talking about worship. She's a kind of a religious type of person, an idea. And Jesus wants to bring her beyond just religion and rules and regulations and just a mode of doing certain things, but He wants to bring her into something that's life-giving. How many come from a traditional church background? Maybe Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran. And there was always a certain way that you did things. Isn't that true? Rules and regulations, different ways you experience God in a service, different rituals and ceremonies. But you know what? And God wants to take you just beyond what just natural into something that's supernatural.
Amen.
To something that's spiritual. And so Jesus has this conversation with her. You know what? Jesus wants to have a conversation with us. And He wants to bring us from just everyday life into something that's meaningful and experiencing Him in a supernatural way.
Amen.
Are you following me?
Amen.
Praise God. Now let's pick this up. In verse 21, and Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, He says, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Verse 22, the worship what you do not know, we know what we worship, for the salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is. It's very important we know that the hour is coming and what?
Now is.
The hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Verse 24, God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must what?
Worship
Him in spirit and truth. Now let's look at our notes this morning. So I want you to understand, God is looking for worshipers. God is looking for people to have an experience with Him. You know, we don't initiate worship on a Sunday morning. God does. Because He loves us so much. He's done so much in our lives. He initiates, for God so loved the world that He gave. God what? He initiated. God initiates worship in our hearts. And our job is to respond to what He does in us. Amen?
Amen.
Worship is one of the most vital ingredients, look at your notes here, of a healthy Christian life. We were created to worship God. In a day and age when so many things compete for our worship and devotion, believers are forced to make choices. King David made a choice in the midst of great trouble and anguish, and he inquired of the Lord and worshiped Him. And we'll see this in Psalm 27. The object of worship is one of the very first commandments given to Israel, and that was to have no other gods what?
Before
me. Amen? As we go on, it says this, He alone is the one we worship. Whatever we do, it is done to His glory. Now let me look at this worship here, just a brief definition here. Let's read this. Worship defines as the reverence, love, and allegiance accorded to a what? A deity, an idol, or a sacred object. The Greek word for worship combines the idea of falling down before, paying homage to, and serving. It's showing forth honor, respect, reverence, and what? Adoration. From these definitions, it's obvious that worship involves the recognition of worth in God and the offering of our honor and praise and adoration to one who is altogether worthy. One of the Greek words for worship is the word pro, which means towards, and the second part of that Greek word, it means to kiss. Now, how many husbands do we have here this morning? Come on, raise your hand. How many love to kiss your wife? Oh man, what's he getting into this morning? You know, in Eastern culture, to greet somebody with a kiss was a very holy thing, a very reverent and thing to do in Eastern cultures. And Jesus is saying that worship is moving towards God to be intimate with Him. Does that scare you?
No.
How many like that idea? So worship means to move towards God. How many ever feel that God is a million miles away sometimes? How many believe tomorrow morning is Monday when you go to work, God is a million miles away? Oh, I got to go work for the state. You know what? The moment you start to worship God, you're moving towards Him to be intimate. You know, the devil hates worship. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, the devil wanted Jesus to bow down before Him and pay Him homage. But Jesus says, what? You shall not worship you. You shall worship the Lord your God, right? And only Him shall you serve. The devil hates worship that goes to God. And so in our society, in our culture, he'll do anything that will bring devotion towards something else other than God. Anything that's out there. How many know it's just an explosion of media, internet, everything that's out there, towards adults, towards children, towards our kids, to what? To grab their attention and their devotion and their allegiance. And ultimately, the goal of it looks like fun, it looks like entertainment, and a lot of it may not even be bad, but it's to steal away our devotion to God.
Yes.
You know, young people, you may listen to a lot of good music, and I tell you, there's more Christian music than ever before. I mean, who doesn't like Skillet? And you're thinking, what's Skillet? And who doesn't like Sanctus Real? And who doesn't like Third Day? And who doesn't like Chris Tomlin? How many know Chris Tomlin? Now you're with me. But you know what? There's just so much. And I encourage my kids. There's a lot of music, a lot of genre of different songs that's going to appeal to them. But more than anything, young people, you got to be a worshiper of God. You know what? You can listen to all those great bands, December Radio. Who's anybody know who that is? Not my son would. All right. But you know what? More than anything, it's great listening to good Christian music. But you know what? You must come to a point in your life that you become a worshiper. that you develop intimacy with God. Because you can listen to music 24 hours a day, but you never enter into worship, then you're missing what you were created for. Are you hearing me? And I guess today, it's just a reminder about worship in a local church can be a very marvelous thing. I'm just going to go off the cuff here. And, you know, when I envision worship in a local church, I see people coming in with a hunger and with a passion and devotion to say, you know what? Today I get to worship God in a more corporate type of setting. Today I come into God's house to worship together with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's more than just singing a song. It's more than just singing the songs that I like. It's more than just singing the songs that you like. But it's lifting up our voices in one accord to God.
Amen.
And so that we're so caught up in that heavenly supernatural experience that, you know what, that nothing else matters. What we've been tempted with, what we've been struggling with, what was going on inside of our body physically, pain or sickness, what's going on financially. You know what, when we put God in proper focus and worship, all those things don't matter. We don't deny their existence in our life and what we're dealing with, but we're saying, God, no matter what, I'm going to worship you. No matter what, I'm going to give you my devotion, my reverence. I'm going to give you my praise. I'm going to give you my love. And you know what? It's just loving Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And you know what? It's all about not where we worship. You know, I used, as a pastor, you hear all the times, well, I like to worship at so-and-so's church, and I like to worship over there. You know what? Worship is more than just where you worship. Worship is attitude. Worship is what's going on inside your heart when you come into a service.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yes.
Praise God. So let's look at our notes here. Amen?
Yes.
Number one, praise, fill this in, is a natural human response to anything excellent, beautiful, or awesome. You know, before you come to Christ, you don't know why you did certain things. It's just, you just your flesh, right? And remember, guys, all those concerts you used to go to, Saratoga Performing Arts Center, man, you just rock out. And you'd be sitting in the grass on your blanket, man, and, you know, if you got beer to go in with you, you know, now they don't let you, but back then they did. You snuck it in. But you know what? You remember those days. Man, and you just rocked out, man. You just screamed your head off, man. And you go to work hoarse. You couldn't even speak. But you know, which is something in you driving you to do that. And I want to tell you, there's something even greater than that.
Thank God.
That God has put in you that drives you to worship Him in a holy way. In a holy way. Amen. It's a natural human response to want to give your allegiance and devotion to something. And it's because God put that in you. And the world doesn't realize they're messed up. They're just going after everything else, just like this woman of Samaria. She was into all these different relationships, trying to satisfy what was in her and what she was looking for and longing for. But Jesus said, none of the world will ever satisfy you. Only Jesus will. Only a relationship with God and intimacy with Him will satisfy you. And how many know the world trying to do a very good job to satisfy you? But you know what? You come up short, you will always want more and more, and you'll always leave empty, shattered.
Right.
Hello.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, worshiping God is a way to bring you out of that into something that's holy and pure in God. Amen.
Amen.
So praise is a natural human response to anything excellent, beautiful, or awesome. Number two, God is the most excellent, beautiful, and awesome of all.
Yes.
If worship isn't natural for us, it simply means we haven't yet experienced Him like He wants.
Amen.
You know, my kids love music. Music's a big part of our life. And last night, you know, I want to study, you know, and my son and his friend were jamming out down in the basement, trying to study. But then my daughter says, well, I want to sing too, you know, after they got done playing. So she came down and she started singing, you know, and they started singing some worship songs. You know, and what am I going to do? Send you to your room? You're worshiping. I got to say, that's cool. You know, because aren't you teaching them about worshiping God? And then they're singing worship songs, you know. And my wife says, I told you so, leave them alone. Hello. But you know what? When we come to church on Sundays or any time we gather together in a public place, we come prepared to worship. We come to move towards God and to embrace Him and be intimate with Him. Just because He is. A lot of time worship is about, man, I just feel great when I go to worship. I just feel great when we're singing songs I like. Hello. But really, worship should be about, I'm going to move towards God so I can be with Him just because He is. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to believe that He is God, for we must believe that He is God and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So we must believe that He is God, that He is a rewarder of those who what? Who diligently seek Him. Let me tell you something. Things in your life will fight you from that altar of worship. Things will keep you so busy in your lifestyle that you find yourself wanting in worship. You find yourself, man, when I come to church and worship, I just feel dry and empty. I feel like I said earlier, God is a million miles away. But you know what? God is there. Say, God is there. And He knows your heart. He knows when you're up, when you're down. He knows your thoughts from the far off, the psalmist says. And God is there. And when you start to move towards Him in a step of faith, to worship Him, to embrace Him. So if worship isn't natural for us, it simply means we haven't yet experienced Him like He wants. True worship, what does it look like? Number one, worship starts in the heart. Worship starts in the heart. So it's not just in a song. It's not just mentally what's going on inside of your head on Sunday morning. Worship starts in your heart. You know what? You may say, well, I don't know how to worship, but I want to worship. I can't even sing. Don't even come around me. But worship is not just a vocal expression. Worship is in your heart. Just like when your child will come up to you, you know, when they're this small, gosh, it's been a long time, and just say, Daddy, I love you. Or Daddy, and, you know, I need something. You know, there's just, they know enough to come to the parent because there's a relationship. There's a drawing that takes place in a family. And it's the same way in corporate worship. There's a drawing that takes place to the heart of God, from our heart to Him. And you know what? And it's there, and you've got to be sensitive to that because there's many things that can distract you from that drawing of the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it starts in the heart. Let's look at Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29, let's look at verse 13. Therefore, says the Lord, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but they have removed their what? Their hearts far from me. Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about giving yourself, presenting yourself to God as your reasonable spiritual service. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, I beseech you, I encourage you strongly to present yourself. So it's a presenting of your heart to God in worship. And you know what? No matter what you're going on in your life, when you come to church on Sunday morning, you say, stop! I'm leaving everything at the door. Not my family. But I'm coming in, and I'm leaving everything at the door. I'm going to come in with a fresh heart and a fresh vision to worship God. How many can agree with that this morning? I'm not going to think about what's going to happen in service. I'm not going to think about what's going to happen after service or where we're going or what we're doing. At the door, everything stops, and I come in to worship God. I don't care what songs we sing. I don't care what order they are. I want to worship God. It starts in my heart. Amen. You know what? And sometimes I look at worship, and I've never flown, and I probably will, just because God has a sense of humor. But when I think of worship, I think of just taxiing down that runway in an airplane. I've been in an airplane once in third grade. We just had a tour. We didn't lift off. So that's all I know. But anyway, You see this plane going, and it just starts to build up speed. And it builds up speed, it starts to what? Another law starts to take effect and overcomes the law of what? Gravity. And you ever see those C-130s fly over Scotia to scare the heck out of you? You know, how does that thing stay in the air? Well, it's just that principle of aerodynamics, overcoming the law of gravity. And that plane starts to go down the runway. And this is how I see worship a lot of times. And you know what? You're in an airplane with a bunch of people you don't know. And you're flying hundreds of miles with them, with people you don't know. Sometimes church is like that. You come to church with people you don't know. But you know what? You're all in the same place, and you got no choice. Because once you're in the air, that's it. And when we come together as church, we come as we know each other. How much better? And we're a family. And we're coming down that runway, and we start to build up speed, and we start to lift off. And you know what? And we start to get above the cities, the towns, the villages. We start to get up into the air. And man, I've never flown, but you know, you say, man, look at that sunset. Look at those clouds. Man, look at the vastness of the land. Am I doing a good job? And your whole perspective changes, and worship should be like that. Amen. It should start where we're praising Him and worshiping Him and just allowing ourselves to be carried along by the Spirit of God till we're just, all we can think about is Jesus. Amen. All we can think about is God's glory. All we can think about is just being with Him. Do you get the idea?
Yes.
How many are ready to take off? And see, you can see when worship can start to take off in a service. And it's no longer a worship leader initiating a response. You're responding to what God is doing in you. Whether you're clapping, whether you're singing, whether you're shouting, whether you're just, you know, we had one young sister just come up. And just, she just wanted to be at the altar. You know, and it's okay to say this, the altar is open during worship. Hello. You don't have to be bound to your seat. Oh, don't get out of your seat. The ushers are going to be mad. But you know what? If God is just moving in the service, and you feel like you just want to get up and move just quietly to the altar and just worship God, you know, I believe you have that freedom to do so.
Amen.
But you know what? It's about experiencing God, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Let's go on. So true worship, what does it look like? It starts in the heart. Number one, or number two, it's both private and public. Private and public. You know what? If we just worship in public, we're missing. And our quality of public worship is going to be only as good as our private worship. Whether it's in our home, in our cars, or taking a walk in the woods, taking a walk by a stream, going up into the mountains of the Adirondacks. Come on, Pat, let's go. You know, just worship is a very private thing. But how we worship in private will show us how we worship in public. You know, a lot of times we come into a service, we got to, you know, they say, you know, got to stir up the congregation, get them into praising, get them into worshiping. And you know what? And I understand that, but you know, we shouldn't have to if you're already doing it in private. Turn to your neighbor and say, amen.
Amen.
Right? You know, there's so many, you know, I tell my kids, you know, you can listen to good Christian music and whatever, you know, but don't forget worship. Don't forget worship. Don't forget worship. There's so much out there for you to help you to worship the Lord. You know, there's at least three great radio stations in the Capital District that provide some great worship music. More Christian bands are doing worship sets than ever before. It's just, it's a phenomenon. It's a God thing. Because they're discerning the signs of the times and understanding, hey, it's not just about doing my song about Jesus and about God and about love and about life. It's about getting people into worship.
Yes.
And more Christian bands are doing sets of worship because they understand there's a God is seeking for us to worship Him. Amen. So it's both public and private. All right, let's go on. Number three, it's more than words or a song. How many can guess what the second part, third part is? It's all about Jesus. So number three, it's more than words or a song. It's about Jesus. How many love that song? I'm coming back to a heart of worship. It's more than just a song. It's all about Him. Many times we worship. How great thou song. Man, Pat, that was a great worship service. What a great song that was. It's more than just a great thou song when it should be how great thou art. How great thou art.
Yes.
I want you to know worship is every part of your life. It's more than just singing. It's more than just lifting your hands. It's more than just worship. It's your attitude in life and how you walk before God. And everything that you do is pleasing to the Lord. You know, we haven't all arrived. Have, turn to your neighbor and say, you haven't arrived. Hey, you haven't arrived. But you're on your way. Tell your neighbor, you're on your way. How many know that's good news? So we're on our way. We're on to living this life of worship. So worship is worshiping God in everything we do, in our families, in our homes, in our marriages, our relationships with our children. Even at work, we learn to worship God.
Yes.
Let everything you do be done for the glory of God, for the honor of God. How many understand that?
Amen.
Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Let's go on. The attitude of worship. So remember, it's not where you worship, it's the attitude of your worship. Hello. It's the attitude of your worship. Number one, the destination of worship. Well, where are we going? The throne of God. Write that down. The throne of God. The Bible says that we've come unto the city, Mount Zion, the city of our God, the Bible says in Hebrews.
Amen.
And we just want to, you know what? When we get to heaven, there's going to be an awful lot of worship. How many understand that?
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of singing. And you're going to sing better than you ever have before. You won't even need a shower. Hello, you won't even need a phone booth. You won't need a closet. You're just going to be singing in perfect pitch. Hello, because you'll be in heaven. And you'll be worshiping God because it's about intimacy. It's about loving God. It's about loving Jesus. So the destination of worship is the throne of God. If worship doesn't bring us into the presence of God through His Son, then one of two things has gone wrong. Either we are worshiping the wrong thing, or we're worshiping for the wrong reasons. How many understand that? So our destination of worship is the throne of God. Number two, the motivation for worship, our longing to know Him. Write that in there. Our longing to know Him. People seek access to the throne of God for many reasons. Often it's because we want something from Him. There is, however, one motive that seems more right than others, because we want to know Him. Let me tell you something. You come into church with needs. How many came into church with needs this morning? Physical needs, financial needs, spiritual needs, whatever, emotional needs, whatever it is. You know what? God wants to meet with you. God wants to bless you. God wants to meet the need in your life more than you do or could possibly imagine. But we're going to miss it if we just worship God to have our needs met. Because God knows. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It didn't say, and all things will be added to you, and when they're added to you, then you seek me. No, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and His right way of doing things, and all things will be added to you. You know, there's times when I've experienced the healing, when, man, you just, I can't worship, just pain in my body, or just something is going on, and you just kind of block it out. And you say, God, I just want to worship you. Holy Spirit, by the strength of God, help me to worship you this morning. And when you get focused in on heaven and Jesus, I had pain leave my body like that.
Amen.
Hello. And that's just one way God will minister healing and deliverance to you is in worship. When you're not just looking to have your needs met. When you're not always whining. Oh, I hate to say that. When you're just been on complaining road. When you need to be on praising road.
Amen.
Hello. How many want to be on praising road a little longer?
Amen.
In church, I've been there. I know what it is to complain. I know what it is to whine. I know what it is to worry. But you know what? I want to be captivated by Him, not by my problems.
Amen.
Did you hear me? I want to be captivated by Him and not by my problems.
Amen.
I want to be captivated by Him and not by the challenges that are going on in my life. Captivate us, Lord. You see, worship is about being captivated, being caught up in his presence. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Number three, the desire of worship is to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, Psalm 42:1. The idea is to actively and passionately pursue God that we might know him better and enjoy him more. The beauty of the Lord. You know, worship is a lifelong experience. From the moment you're born again to the moment you go to be with Jesus in heaven, and that worship will continue throughout all eternity. Music is a powerful force in a Christian life, but let it be the kind of music that's going to edify and build up your inner person, your spiritual life, music that's going to cause you to fall in love with Jesus over and over and over again. When I was in home fellowship as a young single person, we used to do all these Maranatha songs. And some of you probably don't know, remember Maranatha. They still do songs today. But they had some awesome songs that we would just forget about everything and just sing these old Maranatha songs and just worship. And at that time when you didn't want to leave. There's a time when you didn't want to get out of that place of worship and just stay in that sanctuary, in that secret place, and just be with God. Yeah. You know, when you're in that presence of God, you know, there's times you will weep. There's times when you will just cry when a certain phrase of a song comes around because it's touching something deep within you. You see, God wants to go deep because he's a God of deep, and he wants to get deep into your life, and you got to let him. Say, I'm going to let him. Amen. God is not about superficiality. He's about going deep into your life and creating the image of Christ on the inside of you for his glory. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And finally here, the power of worship. Number one, and God inhabits the praises of his people. In other words, his manifest presence and glory. God inhabits the praises of his people. What an awesome thing that God comes down into a church on Hamburg Street and shows himself. What an idea. It's more than just carpet. It's more than just pews. It's more than just walls with paint. It's more than just a sound system. God comes in and he rests in us and with us. God comes and makes his abode with us. Yes, he's in us. He lives in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. But his presence, his manifest presence, his Shekinah glory comes and settles amongst us. And some of you haven't experienced that. But you know what? God wants you to.
Amen.
Because you need it. You need to know that God is awesome and that he is on your side. Hallelujah. And that all things are possible to them that believe in him.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
So God inhabits. God inhabits. Say that. God inhabits.
God inhabits.
God comes in.
God comes in.
He comes in amongst us. You know what? What more can we want? It's more than just try to get through a service and get everything that we need to get done, done. And it happens. And we understand that. But you know what? Let's not miss his presence. Let's not miss just being with the Father. And then as we're with him, listening to him, hearing what he has to say. And finally, you can read this story this week. I encourage you to do so. God's delivering power through worship. The story about Jehoshaphat facing the armies of Moab and Ammon and how they were coming against Jehoshaphat and his people. You know what? God didn't send out, you know, the guys with the archers with the bow and arrow, the spears. The Bible says he sent out before them musicians, singers, praisers, and worshipers before the enemy. And the Bible says when they did that, God destroyed the enemy. Read that. That's the truth.
Amen.
I mean, it's the worst military strategy that you could ever see in the natural. Man, we're going to send out our tanks, man. You know, your AK-47s, you know, we're going to send out the big guys, you know. We're going to defeat Moab. And God says, no, if I'm going to get the glory in this, you're going to send out the singers. You're going to send out the praisers. You're going to send out the worshipers before the army. And then look up and see what I will do. So there is a sense, in a biblical sense, that when we worship God, there is a delivering power that comes in worship in your life. I mean, haven't you had to come to church and you're just kind of confused? But when you get into worship, you're less confused.
Yes.
Things are more clear than they were before because you've been in the presence of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So God's delivering power through worship. Can I have the musicians come up? Praise the Lord. Now, why didn't you all just come up? I didn't understand that. Are you all not singers?
Nope.
Don't lie now. Hallelujah. You know, I want you to remember something about worship. It's not them and you. It's one of us. Did you hear me? It's not just the worship team and the congregation. It's all of us together worshiping the Lord as one. We're just helping you along and be led of the Lord in the songs that we choose and how we minister before the Lord. Amen. So whether you're young or old, get into worship. Reliant K does a great song. And you, man, who are those people he's talking about? But Reliant K is a song, it's called Getting Into You. I'm getting into you because he's gotten into me. I love that song. It's a great song. But let me tell you something. When we get the Christian bookstore here, praise God, amen,
amen.
Get some good music, you know. If you haven't gone out and got some Christian music, good Christian worship music, I encourage you to do so. Man, just drop a $100 bill and get some. Or 50 or 25. Get one. One is good. But there's so much out there that'll help you in your worship before God, that'll help you when you come to church. There's going to be an explosion of God when we worship Him together. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 that they were all in one accord, praying and worshiping the Lord. And we need to do that, one accord. Because you know what? When God shows up, amen. When God shows up, amen. And God starts to touch one. God starts to touch another. God starts to touch a young life. God starts to minister to a mom, a dad, a young person in worship. You know what? And when we look out and we're watching people in worship, you know, you got to realize this, that you could be just standing there and not entering in. But maybe you are. I don't know. I'm not here to judge whether you worship God or not. Only you can do that. Only you can be the judge of yourself if you're worshiping God. Well, I'm just going to church doing my thing. God's going to go deeper. Well, I'm going to church just because it's the right thing to do. God's going to go deeper. Well, my mom and dad told me I had to go to church. God's going to go deeper in your life if you open yourself up to worship. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's do, I want to do that song, Hungry. Keep D. Come on up. Let's stand and let's just worship the Lord a little bit. You put that song up on there, Hungry. This has got to be one of the most awesome worship songs. And I just want you to close your eyes. If you're not familiar with the song, that's okay. It's a very simple song. Pick it up. But you know what? If you never really entered into the presence of God and just worshiped Him, I encourage you just to take a step of faith. Ask God to help you. God, I want to worship. God, I want to love you. God, I want to express myself to you. God, I want to show you how much I love you. Can we put that song up on the overhead? Praise the Lord. Let's go to the second part of that. Mark, you ready? Broken, I come to you, for your arms are open wide. I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. And so I wait for you. And so I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees. I'm offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is longing for. Go back to that verse again. Broken, I run to you for you. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees. I'm offering all of me. Jesus, through all this heart is living forth.
I'm falling on my knees.
I'm falling on my knees. I'm offering all of me. Jesus, through all this heart is living for.
One more time.
I'm falling on my knees. Offering all of me, Jesus, your all this heart is living for.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm coming back to a heart of worship, 'cause it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've done. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
I'm coming back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray this morning, God. Lord, cause us to be true worshipers. Father, real worshipers, worshiping a real God. Father, I pray for those that are lifting their hands this morning, God, that you would just touch them in a supernatural way. God, that they would experience worship and intimacy with you like never before. For I'm calling you, saith the Lord, to a time of intimacy. I'm calling you into a place of worship like you've never thought before. But it takes me to initiate that on the inside of you. And as I do, as you respond to that, as you come into that place of my presence, you will know that I am your God. You will know that I am there for you. You will know that I can meet any need in your life. For as you know me, saith the Lord, for as you know me, you will experience me. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Cause us to be true worshipers in this day and hour. Father, because you're seeking those to worship you in spirit and truth. Father, I thank you, God. It's more than just a song. It's more than where we worship, God. It's our attitude of our heart and how we worship you, Father. Lord, we give you praise this morning. Lord, I pray, touch your sisters. Lord, touch your daughters, oh God. Father, touch your young people, God. Father, let them get excited about worshiping you for who you are and knowing you, God, because you're the most amazing thing that there ever is. And Lord, I thank you, God, that you are God Almighty, that you are God that's so awesome and powerful. And God, I thank you that you want to invade our life in a real supernatural way. And Father, I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, that you're seeking such that worship you. Hallelujah. I'm coming back to a heart of worship, and it's all about you. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it, when it's all about you. Yeah, it's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
It's all about you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we bless your name. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we bless you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Oh, you're wonderful, Lord. Lord, you're awesome. Lord, you're beautiful. Lord, you're glorious. Lord, you're powerful. Lord, you are the great I am. You are all in all, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. One of the sweet experiences in a Christian life is just to be able to worship God in tongues and worship God in the Spirit. And if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost and you speak in other tongues, you can experience that great blessing of worshiping God in the Spirit. Worshiping God in a melody, in a spiritual language, is probably one of the most awesome experiences that you can experience in your life, worshiping God in the Spirit. And if you desire that, we want to help you with that and bless you. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and pray in other tongues, pastors preach on it so many times, we want to bless you and help you. But let me tell you something. Singing in the Spirit is such a gift from heaven. And a lot of times songs can come forth as we minister and worship that just come from the Spirit, come from the Holy Ghost. The songs that just rise up on the inside of you. God has given everyone a song of the Lord. And that's something you practice in private. And as you practice that in private, God will use you in public and in worship to worship Him, singing in the Spirit. And it's far out there, but it's a good thing. And it just... another level of worship that you can experience in your life. Just singing in the Spirit, singing to the Lord, loving Him. You know what? You may not understand what you're saying, but God understands perfectly what you're saying to Him. And that sweet song of the Spirit in your life. Hallelujah. Let's just, if we can, just worship the Lord a little more. Hallelujah. Father, we praise You. You know what? Sometimes it's just articulating, God, You're great. God, You're good. God, I love You. God, I praise You. God, I worship You. God, I'm in love with You. Those are just things that you can say to God. Just open your mouth and say that to the Lord. Say, Lord, I love You. God, You're great. God, You're awesome. God, You're all-powerful. God, You mean more to me than anything. And just start to say that to the Lord. Hallelujah. Just do it. Just open up your mouth and articulate to God, You met me. Hallelujah. In the times of my life when I needed You the most. Hallelujah. Just articulate and express to the Lord how much You love Him. God, You're so good. God, You're so good. God, You're so kind. You're so gracious. God, You're so full of mercy. God, You're merciful. Hallelujah. Open up your mouth. Open up your mouth. Some of you got your mouth closed. Just open up your mouth and tell God, God, I'm going to vocalize to You this morning, Lord. I'm going to worship Your majesty and who You are, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, yes, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, glory to God, glory, 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 hallelujah, glory, 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 hallelujah, praise His name, praise His name, thank You, Lord, thank You, Lord, thank You, Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. You have anything? Praise the name of Jesus. Praise God. Thank You, Lord. Praise Jesus. If you're here this morning, well, let's just do this. How many here, you know 100% that if you died right now, that you would go to heaven? How many know that? Raise your hand. And I'm going to look. You know without a doubt, if you kick the bucket going out this church door, you know without a doubt that you're going to go and be with Jesus in heaven for eternity. Hallelujah. You know that 100%. 100%. Now put your hands down. If you're here this morning and you're not sure, you're not sure that if you died and you leave this life, you enter into eternity, you won't have a chance to make that decision after you experience eternity. You have to make it now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're here this morning, you say, I never made Jesus the Lord of my life. I don't know what it means to be a Christian. I don't know what it means to live for God or worship God. But what I see today, I want it. I desire it. I want to go to heaven. I want to know when I die that I'd be with Jesus forever. Let's say this prayer together. Everyone in this room, every eye closed, every head bowed. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you are the God of love. And you are inviting me today to have a relationship with you. And Father, today, I confess that you are Lord, that you rose again on the third day, and that you are alive, and that you are asking me today to have a relationship with you. Jesus, I invite you into my heart. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me with your blood. And Father, today, I confess that you are Lord in Jesus' name over my life. Lord, I pray, take my life, use my life, help me to glorify you in all I do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I'm going to be out by the door as people leave today. And please just let me know you prayed that prayer for the first time of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen. I do believe God wants us to go up higher in our worship, don't you? Amen. You could say it that way. You could say in deeper. I don't know which way, but he wants us to get a higher level of worship toward him and to experience his presence in a greater way. And I'll tell you, it's going to make all the difference in the world. I, too, have experienced healing during worship, the power of God manifested. We just got to believe God and just be willing to enter that into that. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Mario, can you pray for people today? And Pastor Brent and Linda are here. If you need prayer before you go, please come up and be prayed for. They know how to pray the prayer of faith for you. And just know that we love you. Pastor Brent, it's just last night, and praise God, instant, in season, with a good word. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask him to close us in prayer, close the service too as well. God bless you now. We love you.
Praise God. Just turn to your neighbor and say, man, I just love you so much. Turn to your neighbor. Come on. I love you so much. Honestly, I do. Praise God. Amen. Say we're family. Amen. Amen. I love you, Josh. You're awesome, buddy. Praise God. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you that you are God alone. And Father, you created us to be worshipers. And Father, thank you for this journey that we're on to be people of worship, to be people who are so in love with you and want to be intimate with you, God. Father, help us to live for you every day. And God, I thank you that you walk the road with us, that we do not walk it alone. And Father, we give you the praise and the glory today. As we go from this place, we go in your strength and your glory. And thank you that your presence goes with us. In Christ's name we pray, and all of God's people say, amen. God bless you.